Well, good morning, everybody. So here we are, the last Sunday of 2018, and 2019's bearing down on us like a train. I'm curious, have any of you ever heard the phrase, New Year, New Me? Anybody? Well, this came about when I was at Judson University, and for those of you that have not heard of this, it comes around every year at New Year's. Normally on our social media accounts, they're flooded with pictures of selfies, our friends at the gym, people standing there showing pictures of the food they're cooking, not ribs like me, it's usually something with kale. And they're doing something to improve their lives in some way. This time of year, many of us look into a mirror and don't like what we see. Maybe you experienced a shock this morning while putting on your suit to preach, and it doesn't feel like it used to. Anybody? Only me. Okay. All right. All too often, we try our hardest to look our fit to try our hardest to make our physical appearance and health better. We go to the gyms daily. We cut things out of our diets that are bad for us, and yet we do little or nothing to change our spiritual health. So how do we have a new year, new me in this sense? How can you grow as a Christian and strengthen your faith? Well, my friends, you're in luck, because guess what we're going to talk about today? The first thing we need to do is learn to trust God. We all know it's easy to trust God when things are going great. You know, everybody's happy, the kids are happy, coming to church on Sunday is a breeze because all the kids helped get ready. But it's much harder to trust God when things are not going right. The truck's broke, you're broke, and nothing is going right. Sounds like a country song. When all our ducks are in a row, it is very easy to trust God. But sometimes, we don't even have ducks. Just a bunch of squirrels running around causing problems. And I love this sign because I think I've posted this a few times. I do not have ducks or a row. I have squirrels, and they are everywhere. Those are the times we need to trust in God the most. Now, for me, one of the places I like to look is the Psalms. They are a great place to turn to when you're in need of inspiration to trust God. Then, many of the writers start off in the Psalms with a complaint. This is called a lament. Then they follow it with a praise of God and saying that they know God will pull through in the end. Let's look at a few verses from the Psalms. Our first one here, Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And the next one we have is Psalm 46:1. God is our strength, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The next one here is Psalm 27:5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon the rock. Each one of these songs is written by a person facing trouble and needing to trust in God. Now, another book of the Bible I like to turn to for inspiration is Proverbs. Dave and I have done Bible studies on Proverbs back in the day teaching youth, and I've done it a few times teaching youth and borrowed Dave's lesson from that. So the first one here is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I love this verse. I remember on choir tours, every student that got up to share their testimony would use this verse. And I used to make fun of the students. It was like, oh, here we go, Proverbs 3 again. But it doesn't get any simpler than that. You have to trust God. Now, another one I'd like to share is Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Trust in the Lord. He knows more about what is going on than you do. Allow him to lead you. The next thing we need to do is forgive. Have you ever experienced having someone wrong you? Maybe they didn't pay a debt. Maybe they lied to you. They stole from you, or they said something hurtful to you. It's time to let it go. And as soon as I wrote that, I thought of my 4-year-old daughter standing in the living room, spinning around, singing Elsa, let it go, let it go. Picture her, it's way cuter than picturing me spinning on the stage singing it. But she has mastered that song, y'all. We are called to model Christ. And the most significant thing Christ has done is forgiven us of our sins. And we are to do the same for others. All too often, families and friendships are torn apart because the parties involved are too stubborn to forgive. Next slide I have for you is Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's not easy to forgive someone. Are you holding bitterness in your hearts towards anyone? Take time in the next few days and speak to that person and make it right. Forgive them. If you cannot speak to them, write them a letter. You don't even have to send it to them. Just write the letter, forgive them, get that off your heart, and throw it away. Forgiving them of their misdeeds will make a better you. Louis B. Smeads, he's a famous theologian, and he wrote, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you." Now, the next thing we need to work on for a new year, new you, is to live by the fruit of the Spirit. I have a little disclaimer for this part. There is a great deal of material to cover here, and it could be discussed ad nauseum, and I'd love to. I've preached on it before, but the fruit of the Spirit could stand alone as a Bible study or a sermon in and of itself. So here we go with the abridged version, okay? If you all want to pull out your Bibles and turn to Galatians 5, 19 through 26, and I'll give you a little bit to do that. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 26. This is one thing they taught us at school to make your sermon longer. All right, here we go. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension and divisions, envy, darkness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What can we say about this passage? It's simple. To start with, don't follow your sinful desires. We see these sinful desires played out daily on television and social media and with the people we interact with daily. the more in tune you are with the Holy Spirit, the more you will start to follow where he leads you. And in today's society, to be a healthy and effective Christian in today's world, we need to produce good fruit. Let's look at these fruits again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. One of these things is probably screaming at you right now, just big flashing light right in your face. And you know that's where you need the most work. To be honest, for me, it's patience. I know you're all surprised. I thought I had patience mastered, then I became a dad. Yeah. I run out of patience daily with Diane. She is a spastic reincarnation of her dad. And I love her, and I love her forever. I wouldn't give anything for her. She's the light of my life. But I run out of patience daily. Those moments when I have to repeat myself more than twice. It also happens during those moments when you're trying to take care of the baby. This morning, for example, baby was screaming for a solid 30, 45 minutes. And I'm bouncing her, and Diane's going, "Daddy, maybe she needs a diaper." I just gave her a diaper. And I'm still bouncing the baby, and, "Daddy, yeah, maybe she's hungry." Mommy just fed her. Bouncing again. "Maybe she needs a diaper." I just gave her a diaper. Then it starts getting into my head. Maybe I should go check her diaper. And I go and check her diaper. No, it's fine. And it turns out, if you have a baby that's crying and you can't figure what on earth is going on with it, if you flip it upside down in your arms, it'll burp. And then she's fine. Who knew? This lack of patience also comes out with me at work sometimes. For those of you that don't know, this isn't my job. I'm actually an industrial mechanic. I work on big, complex machinery. Sometimes I work on things I've never touched before, and I have to figure out how to fix it and rebuild it and just know that it should work like this. And also another part of my job is training new mechanics. Dear Lord, when you walk through something with somebody and you're trying to explain, like, okay, this goes like this, and you set this here, and this works like this, well, why can't we do it this way? Because it doesn't work that way. And I'm a mechanically minded person, so it comes really quick and easy with me. But when the other person just isn't getting it, you just want to take your hammer and go onto their hard hat. Can't do that. Won't have a job. Doesn't look good. You're not sowing good fruit. So I fall short with this every day. It's hard, and you feel very convicted, like, I'm a failure as a dad, I'm a failure as an employee, I'm a failure as a human being, and you beat yourself up over it, and I know we all do. And that brings us to the last bit I'm going to talk about. I am so thankful for God's grace. And that during those times when I fail, God still says, "I forgive you. I love you." Time and time again. And the last point that I want to make is to experience that amazing grace if you have not. I'll read from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them." Friends, those moments where you feel like a failure, where you're not meeting those goals that we set for us, like, I want to be the perfect dad. I want to be the best, in my case, industrial mechanic. It ain't going to happen. Something's going to muck it up. You're going to you're going to be so frustrated. And that's where God's grace comes into play. Another scripture I want to share with you is Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In those times of need, turn to grace. Have you experienced the amazing grace of God given to us by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? His defeating death and rising from the grave on the third day, God did that for each and every one of you in this room. If you have not, take the time now to experience the amazing grace of God. During this final song, if you feel the need to experience this grace, come talk to me. I'll be at the back door or out in the foyer. Come talk to Dave. Pastor Chris, I saw you here. There you are. Talk to him. Talk to some of the elders. There were the guys passing around the juice. We would be thrilled to talk to you and walk you through this amazing journey of grace. Let's pray. Father God, we fall short every day to be like you. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for sending your Son to be a living sacrifice that one day in heaven we may join you for eternity. God, as we begin another new year, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide us in the days ahead. Make us examples for those that cross our paths every day. Allow us to forgive those that have wronged us, just as you have forgiven us of our sins. God, give us the grit to trust you in the toughest of times and to never stop seeking your face. God, in this new year, make us new through you. We love you and we worship you. Amen.